at the desk. All right. Last Sunday, we looked at Joseph and at the importance of his yes to the Lord. And I want to look again at Joseph, at his character and at how that played out in his life. We mentioned last week, we don't have a lot of biblical information about Joseph. He always seems to kind of remain in the background. You know, he's the guy kneeling along with the shepherds in the manger scene or whatever. But there's more to Joseph and the role that he plays than meets the eye when you start kind of reading all the scriptures that kind of pertain to this. We never hear him speak, all right? There's not a record of anything that he says, but we certainly see his actions. He's kind of the strong, silent type, apparently. But we see his actions, and there are some important lessons that I think we can learn from Joseph. And so I want to be careful because I believe this message applies to everybody, whether you're whether you're male or female or a father or not a father or whatever. But let me just say a word about the importance of fathers. And no offense to single moms, I respect you, commend you for your effort to raise your children on your own and to provide for your family and serve the Lord. But I think it says something to us that God saw the need for a father and a mother and chose Joseph and Mary then to be the parents and chose Joseph to be the father who would raise Jesus. And again, no offense to single parents, and I understand the choice, but we recognize that ideally it was originally God's original design that children would be raised by a mother and a father in a committed covenant of marriage. And so whether you think of Joseph as an adoptive father, or a foster father, or a stepfather, whatever you want to call him, the truth is that Joseph, it was the man who, at the instruction of the angel, gave Jesus the name Jesus. It was Joseph who cared for and brought Mary into his home and into his heart. Think about this. Joseph would be the first human face to which Jesus would have said, Abba, Father. It was Joseph who gave him his name so that in his hometown, they referred to Jesus as the son of the carpenter. Joseph, in spite of this silent role, was very much a father to Jesus. So I want us to look again at the passage we read last Sunday from Matthew 1, and then I want to point out some things about Joseph. So Matthew writes, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, the later NIV reads he was a righteous man, so righteous man, faithful to the law, but he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So the first thing we notice from the scripture is just what it said. Joseph was a righteous man. He was faithful to the law. He wanted to please God. He wanted to obey God's word. And we see evidence of this in several ways. It was because he was a righteous man that he sought to divorce Mary quietly. He wanted to obey God's law concerning what appeared to be an unfaithful spouse, but he also wanted to show compassion and mercy to Mary. And so his choices and actions in this, trying to be consistent with God's word, but also to be merciful as God is merciful, it shows that he was a righteous man. We mentioned last Sunday about Joseph's self-discipline, that he brought Mary home as his wife, but didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to her son. He respected his wife, he respected women, he respected what the angel had said concerning this extraordinary son that was to be born. And it's a righteous man, a faithful man, who will deny himself and make every effort to obey the Lord and please him. Luke 2 shows additional evidence of Joseph's desire to obey God's law. And so Luke 2 says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, And this is according to Moses, the law of Moses, that on the eighth day a son was to be circumcised. So on the eighth day, according to the law, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, which was some days later, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So Joseph made sure that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. Then he presented him to the Lord at the temple and offered sacrifice there, again, in keeping with the law of Moses concerning a firstborn son. And then later on, Luke tells us, kind of in a reference as Jesus is growing up, that every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. So it was part of the law that if possible, you would celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. So people came from all over the country to come home for Passover. So it was no small journey for them to come from Nazareth to Jerusalem, but it was part of what it meant for Joseph to be obedient to God and to do everything he could to keep the law. And I think this is important, not only to keep the law, but to model that, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but to model that for his family. So it'll be the first of several shots I'll take about dads bringing their children to church. Well, it's not very convenient. Yeah, try walking from Galilee to Jerusalem, all right? It's uphill all the way, there and back. No snow. Well, sometimes there's snow even, but it's just a really good point about Joseph that he was obedient and he brought his family to church. So he modeled it well. We noted last Sunday that Joseph's yes to God was found in verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And so he was ready to respond. I mean, as soon as he woke up, he just did it. It wasn't like, well, I'm gonna see how this fits. I'm gonna see what happens. He was all about the yes. And it's not the only time we see Joseph's immediate response and obedience to God. So later in Matthew 2, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And God often spoke to Joseph in dreams. Get up, the angel said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And once again, Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. There was this immediate obedience. That may have been where my dad got that thing that we were leaving in the middle of the night. Vacation, we'd leave like 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Did your dad do that? You know, like the kids will sleep and won't be nagging us. And I don't know. We didn't do that much, did we? Because some people didn't want to get up. But anyway, we did? She says we did, and you guys say we did. Where was I? Was I there? Was I driving? I must have been. For those of you wondering, my family's on the front row. So yeah, that's what that's about. But yeah, that's kind of a dad thing. We're pulling out. Remember, Dad had a thermos of coffee and in the front seat there, and here we go. We're heading off in the dark. And that's what a good father did. It's what Joseph did. Come on, get up. We're leaving. I woke up. The angel said, go. We're going. And so that's what they did. After Herod died, an angel spoke again to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Jesus and Mary back to Israel. And Joseph was a righteous man who continued to say yes to God as a husband and a father. I think that point just needs to, we need to see that this is not a one-time thing for him, but because he was a righteous man, then the yes happened all the time. It wasn't just one time that he said, I'll do what God tells me to do. It was every day. It was everything he was asked. It was always yes to God as husband and father. This was how he lived his life, obeying the written word of God and obeying the instruction the angel gave him, the instruction of the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. So whatever the Lord told him to do, Joseph immediately said yes. So let me ask you, how are you doing this morning on saying yes? What the Lord has told you to do, are you doing it? How are you doing, Dad? Are you saying yes to Jesus when you're doing what he's asked you to do about your family, your wife, your kids, or whatever, husband? Are you saying yes to God's plan? His plans are better. You can trust him and say yes to that. If you're a young man, a teenager, you're single or married, doesn't matter, an elder, keep saying yes. Man or woman, keep saying yes to Jesus and what he instructs you by his word and by his Holy Spirit. Keep saying yes to Jesus. And then here's the next thing. Joseph was a provider for his family. We notice it first when they went to Bethlehem to pay their taxes and be counted in the census. There was no room in the inn, but Joseph made provision for Mary. And the innkeeper said, there is a place here somehow. It wasn't exactly the best accommodations, but it was all there was. And so he did what he could, to make her comfortable for the birth of her child. I've told you before about us spending the night at the Good Sam campgrounds once. So we were in the church van going to general council, and we don't need no stinking reservation because we'll be able to find something. So we couldn't find anything. And finally, at one of the places I'd stopped, they said, you'll probably have to drive 50, 60 miles off the interstate to find a room because everything was happening or whatever, and Sturgis, and there was a state ball tournament. I don't know what all, but anyway. And so I found a Good Sam place and pulled in, and you know, whatever it was, $20 or something to spend the night. And like, where do you go to the bathroom? Over there in the building. It'll be fine. We're totally safe. Just take yourself a bench in the van, lean back. It's going to be a great night. And did the best I could to accommodate the family, right? So it's a good memory. That is it, totally. She said, that's how you remember it? That's totally how I remember it. I remember we rolled the windows down until the biker pulled in beside us, and I said, roll them up. We're just going to. Anyway, I'm no Joseph, but I did the best I could to do the right thing and take care of the family. When Joseph was told to take his family to Egypt to keep them safe, he didn't hesitate, as we already read. He left in the night. He got up and said, all right, if they're chasing us, if they're looking for us, we're getting out of here. I'm taking care of my family. He wanted to obey God, but he accepted the responsibility to care for, to protect, and provide for his family. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? If you're a dad, it was a sacrifice. And Joseph left his home, he left his business, he left his friends and family, his extended family. Think about it. There's no cell phones, there's no telegraphs, there's no mail, there's no way to communicate with family or friends back home. I wonder if it wasn't like joining the Federal Witness Protection Program. You know, maybe he's using a different name, new identities in a foreign country because he didn't want spies from Herod to find out where they were. But Joseph wasn't going to let anything happen to his family, whatever that required and whatever the sacrifice. In fact, I doubt that he saw any of this as a sacrifice. This is just what it meant for a righteous man to be a husband and a father. There ought to be an amen to that. Joseph was just going to do the right thing. And so that's what he did. Joseph is told in another dream that Herod was dead. And he was instructed to return to Israel. But notice that we're told when he heard that Archelaus, who was one of the sons of Herod, that he was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And then having been warned in a dream, so another dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. But notice this, it doesn't say the angel told him necessarily to move back to Nazareth, but he was warned. And before the warning in the dream, right, when he heard that Archelaus was ruling in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Joseph was already thinking, we can't go back to Judea. We can't go back to Jerusalem. It's just going to be too dangerous for my son. It's going to be too dangerous for the family. And then the angel says, don't go. Don't go there. Go to the district of Galilee. And so he goes back home. They had left Nazareth, but he goes back to Nazareth then. And so again, it was all about taking care of his family. There was more money to be made in Jerusalem. There was, you know, there were more possibilities there. There was better pay in Jerusalem, but there was more risk to his family, and so he said, we'll do with less. We're going to do what's best and right for the family and what's obedient to the Lord. Dads and moms, do what's right. Do what's right to care for your family and to take care of them. Joseph Fornieri is actually a political scientist, I think, and an author, but he wrote this. He said, one can point to Joseph as the greatest advocate of adoption. Joseph testifies to the nobility of a self-giving love that transcends blood and genetics. Joseph loved Jesus as his very own. God bless all you adoptive and foster parents and your kids. Joseph shows us what this obedient yes to God looks like as he brings Jesus as his own and loves him and cares for him and raises him. Thank God for adoptive and foster parents and your yes. It's a daily yes, I know, for you. And remember the time Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem for Passover, and he was about 12 years old. Luke tells us about it. When they started back home, they thought he was with the other family in the caravan. They had traveled down his family, so they figured Jesus is just hanging with his cousins, and so turns out he had stayed behind in Jerusalem. And so it took some time before they found him, and when they did find him, Mary said, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And I'm just pointing that scripture out to you so you'll understand that it wasn't some weird, he's the Son of God, and so we're going to have to be real careful how we raise this one. And, you know, he's divinity in the flesh. And so, you know, it wasn't some kind of weird kind of thing. It was a dad and a mom and a son. Joseph was in every sense the father. I don't think Jesus ever said, in fact, we'll read the scripture in a minute that says he was obedient to them. Jesus never said, you're not my father, and so don't tell me what to do, you know. It was none of that. Joseph was a father in every sense to Jesus. When he said yes to the angel in that dream, Joseph accepted that responsibility to protect and care for and teach and train and nurture Jesus as his own son. The Apostle Paul said in one of his letters that for the person who won't provide for his family is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. And I don't think that's just about what Paul's talking about materially providing for his family or whatever, but I don't think it's just about material necessities that we provide for a child, but spiritually and emotionally, our mental health and all those things that we're to care for and take care of our family. Don't neglect the family. And dad's just take notice. There's such a need for fathers to accept this role as provider and protector in your home and family. And I'm not talking about arming yourself with automatic weapons or whatever, but protect your children from the violence and immorality that permeates our culture. Protect your kids from the kind of immorality and violence that's in their music and media and video games and all the stuff that's out there. My goodness, it's just amazing to me that, you know, they advertise all these incredibly violent, real kind of, you know, video games and stuff, and then we wonder why people shoot kids in schools and stuff. Like, are you kidding? They spend hours, at least, I don't even know how it all works, but they spend hours playing games where you're just blowing up people and killing people, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know why they'd go out and do that. Hello? But once again, no, not much use for common sense. Just my little dad moment there, but look, pay attention. Dads, pay attention to the influences that are targeting your children, your teenagers, and then protect them every way you can. That's part of what we're called to do. It's what Joseph would do to protect his son and his family. Pay attention to those influences. And here's the best way you can protect them. Don't just preach at your kids, but live that godly life of integrity in front of them. Protect your family not just by holding up a strong standard of righteousness before them, but live it before them. Be a godly example in your home. Be like Joseph, and if sacrifice is required, just do whatever it takes to protect your family. And that brings us then to this last point, that Joseph led his family by example. And Luke tells us, then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus grew in all the ways that a young man would grow: spiritually, socially, intellectually, emotionally, vocationally, morally, all those ways. And who do you think was responsible for teaching him how to be a godly, righteous man? Joseph. Joseph taught him. One scholar wrote, "While God's son assumed humanity in his mother's womb, it was Joseph who taught him what it means to be a man. Thus, Joseph was to leave the forming mark of his own manhood on the God-man. Jesus, in his hometown, was known as the carpenter's son." Joseph had that kind of influence on Jesus. Because Joseph was a carpenter by trade, we have every reason to believe that he taught Jesus that trade as well. In fact, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, when Jesus taught and performed miracles in his hometown, people said, "Where did he get this wisdom and this power?" And noted, "Isn't this the carpenter?" In Mark's gospel, they didn't say, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" In one place they say, "Isn't this Mary's son? And aren't his brothers and sisters here?" But in Mark's gospel, "Isn't this the carpenter?" He was the carpenter's son, and he was then himself, he knew that trade as a carpenter. In the process, I think Jesus affirmed the dignity of manual labor. Joseph taught him by example and showed him that a godly man, it meant there's no shame in working with your hands. There's no shame in doing an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. That's what one of the things Joseph taught Jesus. And we mentioned earlier the example given of Joseph obeying the law concerning the birth of the child. And Luke wrote this: "When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Joseph and Mary, I love that, when they had done everything required by the law of God. They didn't want to miss any area of their life. They were determined to be faithful and obedient to the Lord in every area of their life. And they taught Jesus by example how to live according to the whole law of God. Joseph would have taught him the scripture. Joseph would have taught him the prayers that are prayed by a Jewish man every morning and every night and throughout the day. He taught him the prayers to pray after they pray after a meal rather than before. They would teach him the prayers to pray, to thank God for the bread they had. He taught him what it meant to be an observant Jew in a Roman world. He taught him how to dress, how to wear the prayer shawl, all those things. All of that is something that a father would teach a son, that Joseph taught his son. I remember one time in Israel, and standing, we were at the Western Wall, and there was an Israeli father there with his son, and they had walked up, and I just remember, in fact, I stepped back and kind of took a picture, kind of subtly or whatever, but just watching that father teaching his son how to pray there at the wall, and it just struck me that this is how this works, and this is how Joseph taught Jesus how to pray. He taught his son, this special son of Mary, what it meant to obey God and to refuse to compromise, to love God and to love others, even if there's a price to be paid and a sacrifice to be made. What an example of love, and what a lesson of a righteous man living to make a difference in the life of his son. Joseph, a carpenter, a good and just and righteous man. And we don't know what happened to him, but tradition says that he died before Jesus' public ministry began. Again, they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" So I don't think it's like he died years and years before, but somehow, because he's not mentioned again in any of the Gospels, it just seems that he died before the public ministry really began. I doubt he ever thought he would be spoken about centuries later. In the 12th century, Bernard of Clairvaux wrote this concerning Joseph: "To him it was given to see what many kings and prophets had longed to see, but had not seen, and to hear, but had not heard. And he was given not only to see and to hear, but also to carry, to lead, to embrace, to kiss, to nurture, and to guard." It's pretty good. Pretty good word just for what the role of a dad: to carry, to lead, to embrace, to kiss, to nurture, and to guard. In spite of all the angels said to Joseph, in spite of all that Simeon and Anna spoke concerning this holy child, I doubt that Joseph ever really understood the role that he was playing as he protected and carried and led and embraced and kissed and nurtured and guarded the Savior of the world. All Jesus knew, all Joseph knew for sure was that he was doing the right thing every day as he made the choice to say yes to whatever God asked of him. So God didn't say to him, let me try to explain the divinity of Jesus. Let me try to explain, have you got a minute? I'll try to explain to you the whole concept of Trinity. And then this will kind of give you a better feel for how it is. He just said, will you do what I tell you to do? And Joseph said, yes. And for however many years, that's what he did as a father and as a husband, as he honored his wife and supported her, as he respected his son and raised his son and cared for and led and embraced and kissed and nurtured and guarded his life. He just knew this is about saying yes. And folks, that's the key. That's the point to the sermon. And it's the key lesson in all of this. It's just about saying yes to God on a daily basis. And the effects of that, yes, for all of us in being obedient to the Lord, then God sorts that out. And who knows what the next generation is going to say about your yes and the impact of that and how it found its way, how it infiltrated every generation and every family member in the next generation and the next if Jesus tarries. But we can't judge our life by the great moments of victory or the outstanding accomplishments. But there's much to be said for the difference that one person can make who insists on obeying God and doing what's right faithfully and consistently for a lifetime. Yeah. What a difference one life made by saying yes to God. What an example for us as fathers and for us as believers. Say it again, day by day, moment by moment, obedience and surrender. A lifetime of saying yes to Jesus. It's long obedience in the same direction. And parents, dads in particular, your kids are watching. Are you living a life of yes to God? Are you living a life of obedience to the Lord? Are you teaching them by example what it means to say yes, even when it's painful, even when it's, boy, not everybody's going to be happy in the family or whatever, but it's time to say yes. This is what God asked, and this is what we're going to do, and it's going to prove to be the right thing. I've got to wrap this up, but, I didn't always think mom and dad, nobody ever thinks their parents are getting it right all the time, and think back all those years ago, dad saying, well, we're going to move from Muskogee back to Tulsa, and I'm going back to work for Francoma, and it was like, well, have a good time. Because I don't know anybody in Tulsa except my cousin, and my friends are here, so y'all go ahead. My plan was the Freemans, they already had, how many kids? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I figured one more, they won't even notice. They're just around the corner, right? And 5 boys and 2 girls, it'll be all right. I'll sleep on the back porch, but I'm not moving. That's not God's plan. But Dad said yes. Dad said yes to what he felt like the Lord was saying to do and what was best for his family, what would provide for them, what would be best for the family. And who knew? Who knew what the future would hold when he said yes? It's been a pretty good season from 67 to now. This is where we were supposed to be and to do what God called us to do. The next time you see a nativity scene, give some thought to Joseph and the important role that he played. Give some thought to the importance of his yes to God as he protected and cared for the one of whom the angel said, you're to give him the name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. Way to go, Joe. Way to go. Well done. Lord, I just thank you for Joseph. I thank you for his life and his example. Jesus, I don't have to tell you what a difference this one guy made. Just a young guy, but willing to say yes to the Father on a daily basis. Every time the Spirit spoke to him through a dream, he said yes. Every time he saw the possibility of danger for his family, it didn't matter the sacrifice, it didn't matter what he gave up. He was going to protect his son, his other children later. He was going to protect them. He was going to do what he could. Didn't matter how hard he had to work, he was going to work to make sure that his kids had what they needed. He provided for his family. He protected his family. He served and cared and nurtured his family. He taught them the ways of God. He taught them by his example. And what a responsibility we have today as dads and husbands to do the same. Maybe we've already raised our kids. Maybe we're a grandfather or a great-grandfather and sitting here today, but they're still watching grandpa's life. They're watching to see the choices he's going to make. God, help us as men and husbands and fathers to be faithful, to say yes. Lord, let us live a lifetime of obedience, Lord, a lifetime of saying yes to you. And Lord, for moms that are doing this by themselves, God, would you bless them and strengthen them as they say yes to you and to your call and your command, as they say yes to leading their family, Lord. For young men who are single men, Lord, let them continue to say yes, because it's not just about raising kids or raising a family. It's just about obedience and saying yes to you day by day, moment by moment, surrendering and saying, Lord, I want my life to be one continuous and faithful yes to whatever you ask of me. Yes to your word. Yes to your Spirit. Yes, I will serve you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling us to that kind of obedience. Thank you, Lord, that when we say yes, we really don't have to worry about all the other details. It'll come to us in time, but Lord, we just know that surrendered to you is the only way to live, the best way to live. We trust you. We trust you with that in Jesus' name. Would you stand together this morning? I know it's a little different for a Christmas message maybe, but this is what I felt I was to share today. I hope you'll say yes to him. I just hope, not just today, not just in this service, this moment, but I hope this afternoon and tomorrow morning and Thursday and next Sunday and the week after, I hope you'll just keep saying yes to him. At this stage of my life, I look back, I'm not disappointed by any time I said yes to him. Obedience is the key. Just keep saying yes. Lord, we just say yes. One more time, Lord, as we leave this place, we're saying yes to you, Lord. I want to walk in obedience to you, Lord, till my last breath on this planet, and then I'll see you face to face. But until then, I just want to keep saying yes and being obedient to you. May it be for me and for all of us, Lord, as we say that yes in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for watching online. Keep saying yes. Stay for Sunday school. Greet those around you, and we'll see you. Remember, no service Wednesday night. Enjoy time with your family, and we'll see you next Sunday morning at 10 for one service.